I would like to call to order the Board of Trustees Personnel Committee meeting at 5:31 p.m. on November 14th, 2023. Item number two is the adoption of the agenda. Does anyone have any questions?
So moved.
I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three is the custodial position description revision, which is on page three.
So this position recently came open, and we decided to put it in the packet to update it before we post and hire. It's basically putting the current position into the new template, and which emphasizes our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then makes just the language a little easier to understand in general.
Madam Chair, I just have one question. Is this, we've always had this position? Because I thought the city takes care of the building.
The city of St. Cloud has a different arrangement, if you remember. Okay. So no, as part of the lease agreement, Great River provides 18% of the costs for like the operations, so electrical, lights, all of that. And in exchange, we hire the custodians, and the city of St. Cloud reimburses us 82% of the custodial salary. So there's money that goes both directions. And so this position is Great River's staff, but it's primarily funded by the city of St. Cloud. And the 82% comes from the percentage of the building that's dedicated to public service for St. Cloud Library versus headquarters operations.
Question.
Somebody actually went around and measured at one point. There's a map.
Can I make a motion to accept that?
Absolutely.
Yes, it looks good.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item number four is the personnel policy revisions for earned sick and safe time on page 15. And then, so from page 15 to page after 23 here.
So we've been watching this earned sick and safe time information since it first came out in June. The Department of Labor recently updated some of their guidance for employers, and that indicated that if you have a paid time off policy that's more generous than the requirements of earned sick and safe time, you can use PTO as earned sick and safe time. So that's kind of the basis behind what's being proposed here. The things that will have to substantially change is currently our substitute staff do not accrue PTO. Not really sure how they're going to use PTO, but in the interest of keeping things simple and the same across all positions, we're recommending that substitutes begin accruing PTO in the same amount as everyone else. And then we'll have a uniform policy for all staff. The other pieces that change is we are requiring that substitutes work at least 80 hours annually, and that's because earned sick and safe time isn't, you're not eligible for earned sick and safe time unless you work that many hours in a year. And so we're adding that as a requirement to balance out the fact that we're offering the PTO. In terms of PTO availability, anything beyond the earned sick and safe time maximum of 48 hours will be treated just like PTO. But up to that 48 hours for all staff, regardless of how many hours they work, it will be tracked separately on their time card as earned sick and safe time.
Okay.
And so all of the requirements around how to take that and what we as employers need to offer around those 48 hours will be in place. All of the policies would then be in effect also the first pay period of 2024. So you'll see they're dated 12/24, and that's why our first pay period is the pay period in which January 1st falls. So it made sense for us to just align that with the regular policy. The other thing that we had to change for all staff is the legal requirement is that we have to offer it in increments that is the smallest increment within our pay platform. so to speak. So everybody, exempt, non-exempt staff, will be able to take PTO in the increment of 15 minutes, which is also a change. And for new staff, that will happen as soon as they start accruing it. So that's also a change. In the past, staff had to be here a certain amount of time before they could take any substantial amount of PTO. We are also requiring that staff take PTO until it's exhausted, which is our practice has been you needed to exhaust it down to 10 days if you're on leave of absence, and so we apply that uniformly to other situations. In this case, we're bringing it all down to once it's gone, and then you can take time without pay. Because if we're issuing time without pay based on how many hours you work, it makes sense that you would have to take PTO in order to be gone. Like, it doesn't make sense for us to bank that for you to just not work and then use it at a different date. That creates a lot of scheduling issues as well. So this brings us in alignment with our leave policy and then mostly our current practices as well. Let's see. And then the leave of absence policy will be more explicit. And most of the language in here comes right from the guidance from the Department of Labor. So, once they work 30 hours, they get an hour of paid time off and up to 48 hours. That's all included in here. And then the instances in which an employee can use it and what employers can and cannot do in terms of asking for documentation is also outlined in the policy. So, I don't know if you have any questions about it. It's still fairly new. I fully anticipate a year from now we'll have learned what works and what doesn't and what's changed from the Department of Labor, but in order to get this in place for January 1st, this is what we've got.
Oh, no, go ahead. Will our subs be able to get 80 hours in easily?
We looked and there aren't any subs currently who didn't meet that benchmark this year.
Oh, good.
So
good.
We should be in good shape. Yeah.
So what if they don't? Then what happens? Then
I think we'll have to make sure they get hours or they don't get to be a sub anymore. Okay. Yeah, I think that's kind of the position.
It's on you.
Yeah.
It's not for lack of opportunities. Okay. There's plenty of subbing to go around. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My question had a little bit to do with the subs too. It seems like it's fairly straightforward for just regular workers, but the subs where you said, I don't know how that's going to work for them to take paid time off. Is there going to be a policy in place that says, something like, hey, if you signed up for a sub job and you got sick, now you can apply for PTO? Or how is...
I'm not sure how we're going to do it yet, honestly.
Okay.
The one instance where we know it will work is if we end up closing the library early because of a snow day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then they would not normally have been paid for that trip.
They would get paid.
Right.
So for sure, that instance it would apply, but how many snow days are we going to get in the next winter? I have no idea.
Right.
So,
once a week.
Yeah. And we do have subs who end up on leave. Like, even for staff who aren't FMLA qualified, we still treat them the same as everyone else. So if somebody goes on a maternity leave, even if they're not scheduled, we treat that as a leave of absence, so they probably have an opportunity to use it then.
Okay, so that was going to be so in the past, it would be, they just wouldn't get paid. They'd say, okay, I'm just not available to sub. But now, so that's going to incur some cost to the library for us to, if now they go on maternity leave, now we're...
Right, well, just offering the PTO is a financial cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because once they have it as PTO, if they leave employment, it's paid out.
It's a liability.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But our PTO accrues at 0.06, and I think the requirement is something like 0.03. So no matter what, we need to offer the earned sick and safe time. It's just easier from an administrative side to just make everybody the same.
It may help you retain or get some new people to,
right,
to sub, because we know in the teaching field it's tough to find subs.
Yeah,
so anything you can do to get some in your building.
Right.
And
keep them. And keep them, because, we have a few unicorn subs that have worked in most of the branches that love to just work when they want to work, but then they work a lot of hours. One of the barriers to them working more hours is the fact that they're not benefit eligible, and so they can only work 28 hours per week. And one of the ideas we've floated, you know, once this is in place and we see how things work, I mean, maybe instead of a substitute position, it turns into a benefit-eligible multi-branch assistant. We float them around. But there's a lot of things that would have to happen to get to that point. And I don't know if that would make sense. Most of our subs like to just be on call. Yeah. So to say you're going to have 40 hours in a week might be more than what they would want. But might be something we could recruit for, too. So ideas are floating, but we needed to just get this in place.
Actually, I had one.
Oh, go
ahead. Sorry,
for it.
I just thought.
No,
so, since it's up to 48 hours, and you talked about accrual, but again, with the subs, do you just give that, do you give the earned safe and sick leave all at once and then accrue the rest, or do you accrue that?
We're doing them
well? All
as accruals.
Okay.
Because that was the question.
Yeah.
Over half of our staff are part time. Obviously, most of them won't ever use 48 hours of PTO in a year. And so most people, all of their PTO will fall under ESST in the way that it's structured right now.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm. So, like, do you get your hours at the start of the year?
We do in our year.
That's what, isn't that sort of the standard practice, not accrual?
Right. But for us to front load created a whole different layer of administration.
Yeah.
It felt made more sense to build it on the structure we already had.
If I sub for other people, I accrue.
Okay,
accrue
interesting.
Hours.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That I can either be paid for or I can take as
time,
later on. Yeah.
And are they changing that at all for the beginning of the year? Is that the new policy there?
As far as I know, that's
okay.
How it is. It hasn't changed when I've looked on mine. I have 22 minutes left from last year of time. I need to sub, I guess, again. So. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
I'll make a motion that we approve this policy regarding PTO and all of it.
Okay. I'll second that. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Right. Motion carries. All right. Next, we need to close the personnel committee meeting for employee performance review of the executive director, Karen Punsack. Pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.05, Subdivision 3A, is there a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor of closing our personnel committee meeting?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Meeting is closed at 5:44 p.m.
I forgot to print your feedback.
I think we have to say the time.
Yep. So our open meeting will resume at 6:20 p.m. And I'll shift some papers around here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to give all this back, don't we?
Our next meeting will be...
Let's just give it
back. Is to be determined, and we will adjourn this meeting at 6:20 p.m.